clap down on it. This next piece is something new again, and it's written by Hanny, our bass player, and it's entitled Stop, Stop, Stop.
This is Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti, with the remote location episode once again. So today, something I've been wanting to do for a while is I'm going to give you my, I'm going to do a little of my comedy routine, and then at the end, another installment of how to talk to a conservative, or how to talk to Ann Coulter about COVID-19. And that'll be strictly my own opinions and observations. So the comedy scene, I gotta say that there's a lot of there's more quantity than quality in the comedy, in the open mic scene in general. Everybody's doing open mic, but there are some really committed people that are just fantastic that put me to shame. But I did get some fist bumps, and I have had some good response to the stuff that I'm going to give you. And, you know, other comedians are trying to do this online without an audience, and it's very difficult to pull it off. So I'm going to still try and hopefully entertain you a little bit. And then we'll get back in the next few weeks. I'll have some more stuff of people doing stuff to stop multinational corporations. So coming up, my comedy routine, and then the ones that have been successful, and then how to talk to a conservative about COVID-19. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. KEPW 97.3 FM, Low Power FM, Eugene Peaceworks Community Radio, simulcast on KEPW.org. Okay, so a little history, though, of my foray into open mic. When I first started, this was about 2010, I believe, or 2012, I tried to do a bunch of political stuff, and most people are doing, there's a lot of scatological stuff, and, people do a relationship stuff, not many people do political stuff, and so immediately I was heckled. I had a lady, complain that she didn't show up for a history lesson, and, and it wasn't very good anyway. So, and I gotta say, stick with it. If you're trying this stuff, stick with it, because it's amazing how you go in with a bunch of material and you really need to get in front of an audience. You gotta practice in front of the mirror for a little while, but you really need, and that's what's so sad about the COVID-19 stuff right now, is that you really need an audience to practice on, because then you start narrowing stuff down. I've taken like whole paragraphs of stuff and cut them down to just one or two lines. You suddenly realize that this is where the key points are, and so you end up throwing a lot of stuff out, but you have to try the stuff in the first place before you can throw it out. It's just like a rough draft in any type of journalism. So I'm giving you the pared down stuff, I'm not going to give you any experimental stuff today, but yeah, you got to have it's a shame that Cafe Kush closed down, because that was a great place to experiment. All right, so bear with me. Get your funny bone out. And support open mics. And, you know, don't just show up there with your friends when your friends are on the open mic and then leave. That's not cool, I don't think. You should stay for at least a few acts besides your friend's act. So there. If you want to see what the open mic comedy scene is like, there's a movie. I don't know why this movie is not around, but while you're sitting home sequestered or quarantined, you might want to watch Punchline. Was Tom Hanks' first movie out after he was in Bosom Buddies. Punchline with Sally Field and Tom Hanks is about the comedy scene. And there's people that are that committed that are even more committed, his character in Punchline, that'll go down to hospitals, anywhere there's an audience, hospital, old folks home, fire in the 55-gallon drum. Anywhere there's more than two people, bus stations, but trains, transit trains, these people will perform and to practice their craft. They're that into it and live out of their van, just like Tom Hanks in the movie Punchline. Oh, so one more thing is there's an unwritten rule apparently in comedy that you're not supposed to do dick jokes. But I'm still I'm getting away with this, though. But technically, comedians, you're not supposed to do dick jokes because they're too easy. All right, so I noticed that a lot of bands are named after the penis, and you know, for instance, Steely Dan was a dildo, and you know, they say Pink Floyd is not a euphemism for the penis, but these are usually the same people that think that that's the Hindenburg on the first three Led Zeppelin albums. And what exactly is Pearl Jam anyway? Waiter, is your Pearl Jam locally sourced? Why, yes, we have a young guy make it right at your table. Really? Is that legal in this state? Yes, would you like that splatter or gusher? I don't know, I guess splatter. Well, I'll be right back with your bib. Now, I don't know what I just ordered. I have a feeling my complexion is going to be rosy well into next week. So I have a way, I think, of stopping nuclear war. You know, one of my favorite movies is Doctor Strangelove, and there's a scene in there where they're talking about repopulating the world after a nuclear holocaust, and that the nuclear survival bunkers are going to have to be filled with beautiful women in order to repopulate the world. They're going to have to be attractive women to repopulate the world after the nuclear holocaust from the nuclear survival bunkers. Well, you know, you only need like six guys for that. In fact, if you had a well-maintained Pearl Jam bank, you really wouldn't need any men in the nuclear survival bunkers. And you know, ladies, this is how far men will go to get to Funky Town with a beautiful woman. We'll just blow up the entire world and lock you in a bunker. And so, like I say, if we had no men allowed in the nuclear bunkers, I think that we would stop nuclear war almost overnight. Maybe one guy to take the trash out and clean the gutters and the satellite dish and maybe do foot massages. But really, once men figure out that they're not allowed in the nuclear survival bunkers, they're gonna find something else to do with their missiles. They'll keep their missiles in their pants where they belong. I'm looking for an innuendo for that joke to end that joke, that bit. Okay. Countries are required, in order to join NATO, countries are required to buy weapons. Isn't that just the old mafia protection racket, the old mafia insurance scam? You got a really nice country here. I wouldn't want to see anything happen to it. You know, you better buy some weapons from us. Wouldn't want you to end up a hole in the ground like your neighbor over there, Waziristan. So, Theresa May got up there. I guess it's been a year. She's out now, but it's still a little poignant. She got up there one day, and I've never heard her say this, only heard her say this once. She said that she's going to seize the assets of the Russian oligarchs that are in the Russian oligarchs' assets that are in the Bank of England. Well, hold on there, beef eater breath. Hold on there. Wait a minute there, mitigator of Gaul, Duchess of Destabilization, Merchant of the Maidenhead. You mean to tell me that you just let the Russian oligarchs put the money they stole from the Russian people in the Bank of England and gave them a free toaster and waived service charges and said, pip, pip, cheerio, Bob's your uncle, have a nice day? So the CIA are not assholes because they destabilize third world countries for multinational corporations. Well, actually, that is why they're assholes. But the reason I think they're assholes is because when are they going to put LSD in the water supply like they promised long ago? I mean, they've been holding out on us. At least put it in Washington, D.C.'s water. Maybe Congress will get something done. Okay, there's a new word a new verb in the English language. It's to be kashoji'd, is to be cut up and dismembered and carried off in suitcases. As in, he was kashoji'd, or they kashoji'd him. Marketing has already run with this. They The Samsonite Luggage Company has come out with a new line of leak-proof luggage, and the Ginsu Knife Corporation has come out with a new knife specifically for cutting up journalists. It never needs sharpening. Now, you may think that it's too soon for that joke, but would it help if you knew that Khashoggi's uncle was famous weapons broker Adnan Khashoggi? You know, every time there's a problem, there seems to be a broker involved, I notice. Would the world be any different if there were no brokers in it, if no one had the word broker in their job title? Loan broker, commodities broker, real estate broker. Every time there's a problem, there's a broker involved. A pimp is a sex broker. He gets paid whether you nut or not. Aren't brokers just pimps without the purple hat? Can anybody trace their career back to an appearance on NPR? It seems to be where musicians go to die. No one seems to come out of there alive. My theory is they used the life essence of musicians to power the transmitters. Look at poor James Taylor. He went in there one day, and he barely made it out of there alive. He comes out, he's bald, and his pants are up to his sternum. There's a few artists that can, like Annie DeFranco and Melissa Etheridge, that can get in and out of there. They're kind of like the clownfish of NPR. They go in there to clean their teeth, I guess, and they can get out unscathed. Joan Baez only goes in there when she has a book deal. They tried to get Bob Dylan to go in there as publicist, and, hey, Bob, we booked you on NPR. You know, anybody can do a Bob Dylan impression. It's right in between Frankenstein and Tom Petty. Refugee is right in between there as Bob Dylan. Anybody can do a Bob Dylan impression. All right, I said I wasn't going to do any experimental stuff. I lied. I haven't had the nerve to do this one yet. You know, when you're young, zits or blackheads, they're terrible. But when you're older, they're a sacred event because it's been so long since you've had a blackhead or a zit. But zits are the best. You want what I do? Maybe I don't know if anybody else does this. Maybe I'm the only one that does this. But I'll burn a few candles and lock myself in the bathroom. And what you want to do is set up a few empty bottles as targets in front of the mirror. And you turn around and get a good grip on that zit and aim it at the mirror and the bottles you've set up. And right before it, right as you squeeze, you want to clench your cheeks and try to knock over as many bottles as you can. And then I keep a journal with the days, how many I've knocked over. And if nothing else, you get a good splatter on the mirror. You want to get a good splatter on the mirror. So that's something to look forward to when you get older. I worked for a little while at a fulfillment center. I won't say the name. It rhymes with Scamazon. The reason they call it a fulfillment center is because you're fulfilling an indentured servitude there. And this particular one was, the whole warehouse is run by a computer called a mechanical sensei. So when Scamazon employees rage against the machine, they're literally raging against a literal machine. And I was packing boxes because the pickers run, I couldn't handle the picking job. You run for 15 miles a day, basically, in a giant warehouse. And so I'm on the assembly line. It's much like the Lucy episode where she's in the candy store. And you know, about a third of their items are sex toys, because I guess people are too embarrassed now to go into the marital aids shop, so they buy their sex toys online. So about a third of the stuff that comes down the conveyor belt is a sex toy. One day, this thing that looked like a giant butt plug came down the assembly line. I started waving it around. It turned out to be a plumber's tool for plugging a 6-inch pipe. Who knew? I got one day, an order that all that was in there was an economy-sized jar of Vaseline, a large black dildo, and a pair of pantyhose. So I left a note in there with my phone number and saying, "Help, I'm being held captive at the Scamazon warehouse." but unfortunately they never called. So I even at Scamazon, I even tried to get people to sing on the assembly line. Don't cry for me, Mr. Jeff Bezos. You were supposed to be a bookstore. Now look what happened. You are a sweatshop. I have pneumonia, so keep your distance. I can't quit my job. I need the money. Needless to say, nobody joined in. Is Kobe Bryant the first person to die of gridlock? I mean, he had to fly. The traffic is so bad in LA, he had to fly into the Staples Center from his house to go to a game. They basically invented gridlock in California, in Los Angeles. The rush hour actually lasts 4 hours. People say I'm judgmental. Let me give you an example of judgmental. Okay, there's a... Adolf Hitler and Osama bin Laden are on the second floor, on the fourth floor of a burning building, and there's a ladder on the side of the building. Now, and you're walking by, do you grab the ladder and help him and save him? Of course you save him. Hitler would have been laughed out of the beer hall if it wasn't for aristocrats making the middle class pay for World War I. He would have stayed a vagrant painter with that silly mustache. Osama bin Laden is a product of American corporate foreign economic policy. Now, if it's Dick Cheney, you definitely want to steal the ladder. When this guy comes through the revolving door, you know your treasury is going straight to the hands of defense contractors and their oligarch owners. And you're having an unnecessary war with the wrong country. I don't care if burning fossil fuels turns birds into gumdrops, clouds into cotton candy, and oil spills bring back extinct species and creates a few new ones. I still don't want to pay a corporation to run a wire to my house when I can get free energy from a nuclear power plant in the sky. So I went to one of these tribute shows. The prog rock audience is a bunch of fat, middle-aged, bald guys with glasses discussing the viability of a remake of My Dinner with Andre. My friend's 45-year-old wife is banned from the glam rock tribute show for throwing her bra, panties, and herself at the 20-year-old lead singer. Don't hot rod a four-door. What are you telling me? I'll race you as soon as I drop off grandma and my dry cleaning. Spoilers only work at 250 miles an hour. What are you telling me? You got an A in shop class and an F in physics. Get that rice burner up to 100 miles an hour and you'll rip the trunk lid off, strew Zima bottles in your wizard costume all over the freeway. Taillights used to be round, then advanced to be square. Now they're a large percent of the price of a car, and there's some kind of Rorschach test. Martha, is that a turtle eating a pelican? No, I think it's a bear humping a rhino. I don't like remakes. I bet everybody listening to this has an idea for a screenplay. They made a remake of Brian's Song, for God's sakes. I mean, you can't watch that movie without crying. Gale Sayers actually is in the movie. They should make one of those beer commercials for the guy that drives the speed limit in the fast lane. Here's to you, fast lane monitor guy. You can't control your wife, your kids, your career, or your bladder. But by God, you're going to control that lane of traffic even if it causes a traffic jam into the next state.
Brought to you by BJ's Bottled Air, the only bottled air manufactured in a plant powered by the very charcoal it's filtered through. Each bottle comes with a free trach tube ribbed and lubricated for pleasurable insertion. Pick up some BJ's Bottled Air today while you still can. Brought to you by Gluteus Maximus Excon Cranium. Do you still think women and people of color are inferior? Do you think corporations care about people and the environment? Do you think George Bush doesn't know the lyrics to the Horse Vessel song? You may be suffering from terminal ignorance. Made from 100% Amanita mushrooms, Gluteus Maximus Excon Cranium actually removes the brain plaque associated with terminal ignorance. Pick up some today before it's too late. Side effects are compassion, forgiveness, and hysterical laughter. Brought to you by Silt River Tree Museum and Casino. Built on the site where an actual ancient rainforest once stood, see a full-scale replica of a Douglas fir tree. See pictures of trees larger in diameter than a man is tall. Trout and salmon that once choked the rivers of the Northwest will sing to you in our chamber of taxidermy. Hear the disaffected sounds of Feller Buncher and his bunch of fellers, an all-ex-logger band, in our simulated wood amphitheater. Take the Oregon Desert Highway to the clear-cut road exit, turn right at the stump in the road, and you're at Silt River Tree Museum and Casino. Free parking, kids a buck and a half, closed during summer months due to melting asphalt, giant locusts, and methyl ethyl hydroxy colchicine slag emissions.
Also brought to you by Billy Bob Clinton's Missiles R Us. Hi, I'm Billy Bob Clinton, the largest dealer of missiles in the world. I've sold more missiles than anybody. I'll eat a bug to sell you a missile. I got a herd of missiles. I'm practically giving them away. They're stacked up here like cordwood. No cash. We have instant credit. We'll take most any type of collateral. We take oil, minerals, cheap labor, just about anything. This week's special, F-15 fighters, only 5 left, so get here fast. Take the Pennsylvania Avenue past Silo 16 till you see the crater in the road. Turn right and you're at Billy Bob Clinton's Missiles R Us. Come near closing time wearing a thong and I'll show you a wrinkled missile.
Oh, Billy Childs, keyboard. Jimmy Johnson, bass. Chad Wackerman, drums. A tune called Proto Cosmos, and this one's called
There's a lot of interesting memories that we've made together over the past year, and I think it is important that as we enter into a new phase of the health crisis, hopefully a more positive, more normal one, that we still should look back and reflect on what a complete and total train wreck this past year has been.
I mean, you got to learn from history, right? And let's not repeat the mistakes
we
that we've
far.
Made.
Yeah,
let's not. I mean, we have to pat ourselves on the back, though, for being able to survive this long. Sure. And that's why instead of singing Maroon 5's hit song Memories, it's Young Jeffrey's Pandemories.
Oh, and you're kind of wearing maroon today.
That was not even planned.
Oh, wow. By the way, you have something on your
head. Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't washed this thing in like 5 months.
Oh, gross. I just touched you.
All right.
I feel like this song is going to make me cry.
Brooke's already starting.
Yeah, it's been an emotional year, you guys. A lot has happened.
That's what it's done to us.
Yeah.
Crazy here year. We go. I'm going to point when I'm ready. Point. This year we've been through a lot. Cringe looking back at the start when we thought it was cute counting days in the quarantine. This is me on day 22. Haircut appointments delayed. Mullets came back the same year as the plague. We had breakfast drinks more regularly. Eggs Benedict with some Hennessy and drunk by noon. That first March felt like forever. We were all going insane. One thing brought us all together, and Joe Exotic was his name.
Oh.
For a whole month, I remember my sweatpants I never changed. I once ate a whole lasagna inside of my shower space. Yeah, my hands are getting sanitized, washing all the germs away. I found out that all my life I've been doing it the wrong way. Beers in a bar, we could not. Tears in my car, now that happened a lot when I drive out to get the groceries, but forgot my mask in my room.
Dang it!
Toast first responders, hooray! Roast those whose masks weren't pulled up all the way. Some of us got a check from the treasury, while some of us lied about our salary so we'd get to. Pandemories, committing felonies might haunt you. Before COVID, I remember when my toilet rolls were bliss. Until the Charmin bears got added to the endangered list. I try my best to social distance, but end up looking like a chump. Cause I never felt less cool than doing an awkward elbow bump. And no one ever did high fives, and no one ever touched their face. I gave the 5-year-olds my car just because I needed space. Debating if Fauci was hot. Remaking the dances we learned on TikTok. That was how we spent our captivity and finished all of Hulu. Miss going out to a play. Or sharing the tongs at a hometown buffet. Each month felt more like a century. Every day I had the feeling of deja vu. Do 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 do. Audio cutting out randomly on my Zoom. Do do. Together we made pandemories and got through. Yay! We're almost through. Together we made pandemories and got through.
Aww, that was really good.
That was.
Oh, man.
I loved it.
It did make me cry a little bit.
Sorry, I guess the Wi-Fi is really bad in here, and I'm ruining the song a little bit. But
I think Zoom calls are the worst thing ever.
I mean, out of all the things I'm not going to miss, Zoom calls is at the very, very top of the list.
Seriously. And, you know, serious shout out to all the healthcare workers and to everyone that has been trying to make our world a little safer.
Yes,
too.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, there's
so
been
important.
So many people that have gone into just helping us get through this together.
Yes.
I mean, from grocery store workers to first responders.
Delivery drivers.
Yeah. I was going to say us, but, you know, we've made it worse. Let's be honest. Anyway.
We're here.
Today
on KEPW LP 97.3 FM Eugene Peaceworks Community Radio. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends, support independent media.
Good luck with the drug.
Direct from our newsroom in New York, it's the Channel 1 Evening News with Robert Elgin and Leo Batfish in Suckmuck Dick, Thurston Thithertinton in Bath, Mechanica Mechanica in Washington, D.C., Freddie Fagel in Minneapolis, and Lionel Elgin in New York.
Good evening. Enemy sappers attacked Allied supply bases in Long Wang earlier today. Casualties were reported high in the Gulf of Kaki and in Nirpakyu, where enemy helicopters were downed by rock-throwing peasant women. General Chow, commander of Allied forces in Long Wang, divided his troops into two columns and ordered three units from Column A and two units from Column B into ground fighting there. American troops were on hand, and here with a report is Leo Batfish in Suckmuck Dick.
These are the proud and plucky fighting men of the screaming 103rd Airborne Cavalry, secretly stationed here in Long Wang to support and destroy in this protective overreaction mission known as Operation Bloodbath. These battle-hardened, shell-shot elite corps has covertly hauled heavy artillery through rice paddies, cow paddies, jungles, and swamps, moving under cover of darkness to avoid being accidentally bombed by stray B-52s. The Screaming 103rd is part of the Terminal Pacification Program, initiated by an unknown sonographer at the Pentagon in 1968. And so, for these men, war or no war, enemy or no enemy, this dreadful, dreary, drab, draconian drama drags on. This is Leo Batfish in Suckmuck Dick.
The Russians' new space program got off to an inauspicious start today, apparently due to a gas leak aboard the giant Scratchinich 3 rocket. Here, via satellite, is a taped report from Thurston Thithertinton in Bath.
The Soviet Union today launched a Scratchinich 3 rocket with one Russian cosmonaut aboard. Soon after takeoff, the trouble began. Director of the mission, Vladimir Getcharoksov, alerted the flight commander, Yuri Vosnovsky, of a dangerous amyl nitrate leak into the rocket's fresh air and cooling system. Apparently dazed by the noxious chemical, Commander Vosnovsky disregarded orders and, donning his spacesuit, jumped out of the giant spacecraft. Narrowly escaping doom with the aid of his British-built jet-propelled rocket pack, the berserk Russian spaceman, apparently enraged by the technical malfunctions plaguing the Soviet space program, launched a one-man assault on the mission control headquarters. In a typically Russian display of pique, Vosnovsky fought for several minutes with scientists involved in the ill-fated launching. Alexei Rudnakny, an authority on solar wind and former Olympic discus thrower, finally overcame cosmonaut Vosnovsky by driving him into the atomic pile. His present condition is unknown. Meanwhile, the abandoned rocket on a collision course for St. Peter's Basilica in Rome was detonated. This is Thurston Thithertinton in Bath.
Make the world a little bit better. At Uranus, we're just beginning to find out.
The president went to the airwaves this evening in a televised address to the nation. Commenting upon the spirit of dissent abroad in the land, the president reaffirmed his confidence in the basic strength of the American people.
I'm in the driver's seat. I run the show. I'm the president.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.